Hi, I'm Jonathan Holmes, and you're listening to Pod Teed episode 62.
I'm back, bitches. I'm gonna make you squirm.
Welcome, faithful listeners, to Pod Teed, episode
61?
Whatever it says, I'm pretty sure this next is episode 61. Joining us this week is, from the bathroom, from the International Space Station, literally phoning it in, Tommy.
Hi.
Yeah, that's the audio quality we're going to be working with, folks. Also, Adam Owen.
It was our roommate.
Maddie Schuster.
I just like that you cut the Adam off there. Hello.
I was making a Michael Caine voice, and you were like, no, go away.
He was just doing a silly film.
I don't care about your fucking tangerines.
The real problem is my mom walked in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Now we know. Since when do you have a mother?
Was she all like, what's this about rubies?
Tovarish.
About shaped, they better be shaped like tangerines, otherwise, well, I'd burn down this forest for nothing.
Are you speaking to those people again? I told you not do it again. Father very sad last time.
They give you capitalist tendencies.
Vid, take off those blue jeans Americans. No.
You are not Calvin Klein's.
Mom, it's not the 70s anymore. You can buy Levi's at the Red Square.
What? No. Where do we line up?
The commissar very sad, very disappointing you.
Do we have other people on the show?
No.
Occasionally you might hear some Central 2 coming.
I thought we have shitty
televised screen.
Oh yeah, but he already introduced himself in the pre-roll by clearly stating that he is Matt.
Okay.
But
imagine this, right? We are all holding Matt down and just licking his face.
Oh, pinning him to the bed.
And he's just going, oh.
It's supposed to be me making you squirm. That's what I said at the start of the frigging show.
You are making me squirm with lust.
Yeah.
Lustular. Lustular. That's going to be on in a bit.
Okay, so I have to ask, what flavor is he?
I imagine that he's like quite sour candy.
Mm. Right
salty
now?
Salty sweat flavor.
Right now, I am Earl Grey tea and tomato soup flavor.
That's a great Monster Munch.
That's because you're poor.
Earl Grey tea and tomato soup. The best flavor of Monster Munch.
Yeah.
Breakfast of champions.
That's literally what I have at breakfast.
I'd bum you.
Sam's going to be on in a bit. He's just been riding his bicycle.
Bicycle.
Get on your bikes and ride.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the idea. We were just setting up. You don't need to shout at us.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Fucking Matt. You always come here and ruin things. Look at my asshole.
Is that punishment for ruining things, or just a thing that everyone must do?
I like to think there was a full stop there. Yeah.
Well, it's ruined.
Oh, so as in, it's the arsehole that's ruined, not as in, as a consequence of things being ruined, now look at my arsehole.
No. He ruined my ass.
Right. Okay.
How is Sam riding his bicycle, by the way?
With his hands.
I thought there was an inch of snow.
There isn't. I'm looking outside and there isn't.
There is here.
As we all know, the weather in the southeast of Britain is exactly the same as Bristol.
The thing is, the weather in the southeast of Britain is the only one that matters, apparently, when as regards international views.
That's... Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
All I have to do is just look outside. Yep, there's no snow.
Yeah, what? That, well, that's what all the TV shows, all the news shows will be reporting then. There is no snow. Snow doesn't exist anymore, everyone. And we then can someone be safe as a country.
Yeah, someone it's been... from Scotland calls in and says, hey, we got snow here. And they're like, shut up. You're lucky to be in the UK.
I'm just like, yeah, we've got a couple of feet of snow overnight. Just, you know, infrastructure slowed to a standstill, slowed to a crawl, and everyone's having a real tough time getting to work. But no, now don't you worry, BBC. You're in London. You're fine.
And like, oh, wait, you're in the north of. Oh, so you're not in the real. Oh, okay.
Oh, how about you?
So, yeah,
you're not in real UK.
It's like, oh, people still live there? Oh, yeah, I guess they do.
Do you have a UKIP MP? Oh, I guess you're not part of the real United Kingdom.
I mean,
you don't live in Thatcher's favoured land.
I mean, Sam, he votes UKIP every year, but he can't get it done.
It's true. I like how Matty's approximation of British politics has shifted recently from BNP to UKIP. It's quite amazing.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone from BNP says they're going to vote UKIP because there's actual chance that they'll get power.
Yeah.
Well then.
Because, and at that point, no one in Britain has sort of cottoned onto the fact that, hey, what if we're voting for the party that BNP like? Is that bad?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like they sort of... The people who are voting BNP realised that the actual sane people in the country had called them out on their bullshit and then thought, well, maybe we can sneak some of our bullshit under a different name. And,
yes,
and
let's see who else hates black people as much as we do.
yeah.
Well, every single time they hire a black person, that black person always ends up leaving. I think they're doing something right.
Well, to be honest, like I know some people have at least I've seen on YouTube comments that some people aren't voting UKIP who would be voting BNP because UKIP are too blue pill for them.
What, UKIP are too liberal?
Or what? Too conformist and accepting of the regime. The regime that keeps the white man down.
So they are crazier?
Yeah.
That's not good.
They are men going their own way, would you say?
Oh, maybe.
I did stupidly search hashtag blue pill. Hashtag red pill.
Oh God, don't.
In Twitter, and what I got was approximately half Matrix references and half blog posts about how women are basically children.
Okay.
I mean, that's right worrying. Now. Matrix becoming less relevant. I think that's the real issue that we're facing today.
Yeah, you dilute. Fuck you, men going their own way. You're diluting the cultural impact of the Matrix, and for that, I hate you more.
It had a culture. What?
Matrix had an incredible.
Their great crime was making me look at Keanu Reeves and then remembering Red Pillars, and I think that's the worst part of it all.
I think the worst part of that movie was when it happened.
Wait. Keanu
remember the bit in the Matrix films when Keanu Reeves was stuck in a train station and he kept trying to leave it and he couldn't get out until the plot needed him again?
Yeah.
And then that's the only reason he left, because at that point the film got bored of not having him in the film.
My people need me. Yeah,
I got bored of him being in the film.
So... Do you realize that Keanu Reeves was both in the Matrix, right? And right, in which he took a red pill, and in the film Red Pillars.
Whoa! Is this the Illuminati?
Yes, I can only assume that this is the true face of the Illuminati.
Whoa!
Right now, just imagine the X-Files theme song being played on a kazoo in the background. That is how I feel right now.
I mean, I think this is too edgy for me. I might need to leave the call.
Well, yeah, you might have to, because honestly, this is only for people who want the real truth about the world.
It's like,
and who will be editing this episode?
Yeah, if you listen to the rest of this episode, you will come out of it knowing something more about yourself and the world, and how to bend it to your will.
Cool, mate.
And we won't even charge you for it.
Yeah, we will.
Yep. What would you pay for this privilege? What would you pay? But that's not all. What would you pay for this privilege to bend the world to your will? £20? £30? £45?
No.
Hello.
Oh,
hi, Sammy boy. Oh,
the little cycling boys.
Well, we have someone here to help us. What would you pay to bend the world to your will and become a red pillar?
A red pillow?
No, what? A pillow.
That was not the original question, but I will take that as well.
I heard pillow. I don't know what either of those things are.
Red pill. Red dash
Oh.
Basically, what would you pay to learn the truth about the world? Like the real truth, not the hoity-toity.
Not the
I'm
going to
go with, I'm going to go with the slightly Bart fast answer and say I'd rather be happy than right any day.
The real truth. The truth that Gordon Brown doesn't want you to know.
Yeah, because he's
basically who do you
that.
Want to be? Do you want to be cool Keanu Reeves or that shitty bald guy with the like goatee who was a dick in The Matrix?
Well, if I'm Keanu Reeves, it means I have to be in the second and third ones. So I think I'll go with the bald one.
Oof. So wasn't like,
the bald
but he's
one
like
in the second and third.
But
one.
That also means you were in Baby's Day Out.
Ooh, that's not the end of the world.
It sort of is.
It would be the end of the world to me. Definitely.
I could not survive that.
What are we talking about here?
Sam doing drugs.
The truth. We're trying to figure out the truth of humanity.
Have we started?
Yes.
Yes, oh, yeah. Sam.
Oh, okay. Say hello, you late bastard.
Hi. Late? I didn't know when we were starting.
We told you.
An hour ago.
There was a time when an hour ago we told you, and then you were like, no, I'm going to ride on my bicycle.
Bicycle.
Well, you told me when I was already 2 miles away from my home on my bicycle.
We told you yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't remember yesterday.
Sam, just because you're doing drugs and partying all night, we won't stand for this.
Just because you've just had a successful release of your
video game.
Your videoed game
it's
onto the real life Steam store.
It's not been,
in
not
which
been released yet.
It's been released to critical acclaim and is finally finished.
Happened.
And has received £10 million worth of investment for a sequel.
This takes a while to edit. We are speculating the future. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I get it. You sort of thought, well, fat-bottomed girls will be riding today. I need to look out for those beauties. Oh yeah. And then you're like, well, this does mean I won't be able to be on Podteed. Oh well.
Fuck it. I need some booty in my face. Sam, you're so
fat bottomed girls is the best Queen song.
Sam, you're
you
so
that is not that is not how you pronounce innuendo.
Innuendo?
Innuendo.
Innuendo.
The best Queen song. Oh, I don't know. Death on Two Legs is really good, but it's really fucking mean. It's about a real guy. It's about their old manager. Yeah, and it's really fucking mean.
Oh. I've heard songs, other bands about the like managers and stuff. They're often quite mean.
Yeah, but this one was specifically written by Freddie Mercury. They haven't attributed it to Queen because everyone else feels bad about it.
Oh yeah.
So they just let the dead one take the credit for it.
Well, no, I think they let Freddie. Basically, it's like you're taking responsibility for this. But like, it's, you suck my blood like a leech, you break the law and you preach, you screw my brain till it hurts, you've taken all my money and you still want more. That's the first fucking bit. It goes on like that. A dog with disease, king of the sleaze. This is like,
and it's on their best album as well.
I'm pretty sure that
it is on their best album.
Released a song of that same, of a similar ilk in their first album. All You People Are Vampires is very similar to that.
Queen had at least been around for a few albums at that point.
Yeah, they might have cemented themselves a little bit, whereas I guess Arctic Monkeys were just like, so we're going to launch our entire career with this album that's got this critique of the music industry and the people around us. Now, yeah, now, before we've had any success, just hope for the best, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, he is Freddie Mercury.
He's Freddie fucking Mercury.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury could do that. But I don't know about many other people.
Mm.
You know what, Sam, you know who could do that?
Who?
You.
No, I don't think... Well, I don't know, I do actively insult, like, major publishers.
You insult me all the time.
There was this one time when you were like, hey, meet people who make Oddworld. What are you doing, mate?
What the dealio, yo? And you just call them chudheads.
You went on Twitter, I remember, I saw it, you're like, hey, chudheads, what's the deal?
What's the deal with the controls being shit, chudheads?
Yeah,
hey, totally
what I did.
Hey, chudheads, why you gotta fuck my life up? That's what you said.
Why you gotta make me sad and ruin my favorite game?
You just cried on my shoulder all week long. You're pathetic.
You were crying on my shoulders. You're screaming, just screaming. They fucked it up. They fucked it up. What a goon!
You
squad.
Blew it all up. You bastards. Or
well,
whatever.
In fairness, like I have now found a video that describes pretty much all my problems with New and Tasty.
I turned this podcast to video games, and none of you can stop me.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm not gonna mention. I can't remember the name of the video, but basically, yeah, it's all of the problems with New and Tasty laid out, and it's like, yeah, it's still a good game, but if you've played the original, just go back and play that again.
There's a bit of a volume spike there.
Suddenly hot, Sam. Oh. You're hot as fuck.
Am I? What?
Yeah.
You raise your voice without raising your voice.
You called out all the chowder heads.
Are you sure it's not just that Skype auto-changed my volume?
I think that's it, but it kind of sounded like your face had bust through a wall. Like, you were talking from
behind... Oh, yeah!
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You're kind of talking from behind it, like a thin, kind of oriental-style paper wall. And
yeah,
just,
you know,
your face just bust through
it. I burst through and ruin your rice time.
Sorry, what?
I'm imagining
all of you are sitting around and you've got this little room specifically set up for eating rice in. That just look not rice in, rice in. Don't eat rice in; it will hurt.
It does. It does.
Yeah,
I can attest. But
I'm imagining you've basically got this little sort of, paper walls, sliding doors, room set up because you like the authentic experience.
We like it oriental as fuck.
Yeah, which I've discovered is actually a racist term in America. It's not here, so we're not being racist.
Oriental.
Yeah, apparently, because it's so vague. Apparently it is used as racist.
Do you know what racist term I learned a while ago?
I love how
this is show and tell with Matty. What racist term did he learn this week?
No, I had no idea. Shush. I had no idea it was racist. It was another British...
Did you call someone there and then find out?
No. It was a British boy a few years ago that went to uni and he got, like, orientation shit. So, like, the things that are politically correct. And one of the terms that is apparently racist is flip chart.
Flip chart?
Flip chart. That's racist against Filipinos.
No.
Well, that's what they fucking said to him.
Hey,
that's fucking not. It's the name
racist.
Of a thing.
Yeah, it is racist against fucking conference tools.
Yeah, fucking. How dare those large pieces of paper on a board,
Sam,
do that?
Stop sucking such a fucking tree ring binder.
They come over here and steal perfectly good jobs that would have been taken by British people standing there holding cue cards.
Core, mate. Core.
Indeed.
I have. Speaking of Matty Shoestring being racist, right?
I'm never racist.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how we hang out almost every day and
I'm
play
have
video
to beat
games,
you up.
Matty? You know how we do that?
Well,
every
day.
He comes up with things to say.
Okay, I just throw these things out. I do not think them through.
He doesn't think them through or think that they will be publicized. They will be now. One of the most racist things he said recently is we came up with this character called like a black woman that likes Nintendo. And then she says that her son looks like Donkey Kong.
And then
he came up with a phrase for interracial marriage, which was jungle property.
See, the problem is that I'm pretty certain that the only time Maddie has ever seen a black person is on Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he hasn't seen a black person. Then only half of them.
Hey! Oh, someone here to save me from my racism.
Quick, distract them from my racism.
tell them how I hate women as well.
Apparently, we have started.
Okay.
Hello.
I turned up not realizing we'd started.
No, I came in through the door 4 minutes ago.
What, you have a door?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at me.
I live somewhere.
I've got a door. With a knife and fork.
You live in a house like Dean Cain with two walls and barely a roof doesn't mean that we all do.
Hey, shut up.
Well, I've been to the town buying a bunch of stuff and sorting out my phone for next week and shit like that. Yeah, I'm getting an iPhone 6.
Whoa, Tommy, what do you have to say about that?
I think Tommy died.
Oh. We're going to from happiness. To our via satellite phone, our iOS correspondent Tommy. But
I think we lost connection.
Hello, I am Tommy.
Hi Tommy. So, good job.
As you know, maybe you don't know, but as I think you know, I've had a Windows phone since 2012.
Oh.
And it broke 2 years ago. The screen broke really badly. And it's just been a mess since then, and it will shut itself off. It will freeze. It randomly froze on the bus home, and I've had to get a new phone for a while now. So like I've missed my chance to trade up for using the deal that my phone provider has like 3 times, but I was able to sort it out now. So yeah, tomorrow the next week I will get an iPhone 6, 64 gigabyte.
Oh yeah, I was about to ask about the.
Yeah, I wanted to get an iPhone 5 actually because they're smaller and I don't like the size for the 6. But they only had 5 and 16 gigabyte.
Unfortunately,
I can't do that.
That's what Apple does. Once they introduce the new ones, the old ones are only in the crap options.
Yeah,
the same with like iPad mini second generation. Because the third generation is the exact same hardware with the fingerprint scanner. And
because the one I have, the iPad, is 16 gigabyte because that was the only one that existed.
Yeah, and it's first generation. And we'll be talking about those a bit later.
Cool.
Whoa.
And what's wrong with them. They unfortunately do that. Once they introduce a new model, the old ones, you can still buy them, but only in like the lowest capacity option. And 16 gig. If you intend to actually buy games for it, it's not enough.
I basically play one game on my iPad constantly, and that's Love Live. And when I first started playing that, it was fine. It took up like a few gigabytes, and I was playing it. I was having a great time. But since it's a music game, and it updates like every third week with new music and stuff, it constantly kept growing. And I had to start deleting things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think I can fit this and music into a phone. That won't work.
But at least with iPhone 6, or at least with Plus, I noticed that it's big enough for me to not think like, I wish I was playing that on the iPad.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. Okay, that's cool.
So I was out doing that, and then I bought a bunch of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Not for myself. Not for myself. I'm sending it to Japan.
What chocolate did you get?
I got dark chocolate, actually. You see, because it's Valentine's Day in 14 days, which normally I don't really care for, but I have a friend in Japan. She's really nice, and in Japan,
it works a bit differently. They have 2 days. They have Valentine's Day and they have White Day. And on Valentine's Day, girls give chocolate to, well, traditionally boys, but in case of, if you're a lesbian, you give it to your girlfriend then as well. Or you can also just give your friends chocolate, and it's called Tomo Choco. But, and then on White Day, the boys give chocolate to either their girlfriend, boyfriend, or male friends. So I'm going to send some chocolate to her for Valentine's Day. She sent me some stuff last month, and it was nice. So I've been gathering some stuff that I know she likes. Some random chocolate and some, like, surprise chocolate eggs with toys inside them and stuff.
Kinder eggs?
Yeah, sort of. Not Kinder, but like...
Do you have your local equivalent of those?
No, like, I got the higher tier ones. I got Disney ones, because I know she likes Frozen.
Yeah, but are they produced by a Swedish company? Or is it, like, imported from Germany and stuff?
I have no idea.
Basically, so, is it Swedish chocolate is what I'm asking. Like, proper Swedish.
I think so. I'm not certain.
It's not Polish, if that's what you're wondering.
Yeah, but I think it's genuine Swedish chocolate, yeah.
Nice.
Cool, it's good.
Yeah, so that's nice. I just got in through the door, like, 10 minutes ago, and I didn't know we were doing a podcast.
Well, we were.
Clearly, yeah.
And now Sam is here to ruin it.
Oh, Sam, you started a company.
I did, yeah. I've actually fucking done that. I've been using the name for years, but finally actually filled out all the documents and things. Well, most of the documents and things. Yeah. I've technically not done any of the finance stuff, but was easier than I thought. Originally, I was going to put my job title as something stupid, because you can have it be whatever you want. Because obviously
Lord
it's your company.
Commander.
It's your company structure, so you can do whatever. I was going to... I think one time I was... Eternal President.
Oh,
one
nice.
Point,
the dear
at one
leader.
Point, I was Ultimate Supreme Executive Chairman. Then I was
Grand
Judge Judy. For a while, I was Judge Judy and Executioner. but then I was told by Chris Bulch, who did AmeriClap, and he did his company like a couple of months ago, and I was asking him for my advice. He pointed out to me that anything you put as your job title, while it's only internal, if you ever apply for a company loan, is shown to the bank. So I changed it back to president and left it at that. Because I don't think the bank, when I'm applying for a loan, if I have to apply for a loan, will take me calling myself Ultimate Supreme Executive Chairman in good humor.
Universal General Sam Morris.
They will know
yeah.
me in serious business.
Not only that, I also got bought a lordship for my birthday.
But you can call yourself trustworthy president.
I could,
and read they're like, oh, we can give him money.
Well, I have just called myself president, so I've at least still got the. But it means I've become president and lord in the same week.
That
is interesting.
Pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
The lord thing literally just means that I now own 5 square feet of land in the Lake District. that's enough to count.
Please fence that off. Please fence that those 5 feet off, and just put a sign and don't step on the grass in the middle.
Yeah. You need to put up something that's, you know, no Romanians or...
Yeah,
no,
just like, put up a sign that
my
says
lawn.
Property of Sam Morris, Judge
no.
Judy, and Executioner.
Yeah.
Just put a sign in it as at Lake Treacle headquarters.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And put like a Lego house inside.
Yeah.
Monopoly houses.
Yes. Yeah. It's got to be like Monopoly cities. They got to be like skyscrapers.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know, you've got
oh,
you've
so a Jenga tower.
Yeah, it's been a good week, and then today, Outside Influence is finally on Greenlight, so hooray!
Yeah, and more importantly, the most important part of it all is you got the Elite Trickle Twitter handle.
I have had that for years.
That is good. I didn't know that.
I just deleted all of the tweets because they were complete.
Because when I was going to tweet about it, I realized I didn't follow it.
Yeah,
I had just followed it, so tweeted didn't remember it. So I just basically guessed. So I just typed out Elite Treacle and and tweeted out and checked. And went, oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, everyone, I just need to make a quick news flash. Adam just went to go to the toilet.
There we go. I thought he'd do that.
He might be pooping as we speak.
He might also be peeing.
Yeah. I'd like to think that he's pooping.
He might be combing
his
hair.
You always like to think that.
You know what? You know what?
He doesn't have enough hair to comb.
You know, that's true. I have to. I always have to take a comb break halfway through the
Yeah, luckily I did comb my hair before I left for the city, so I'm still good. So
yeah,
hopefully I won't have to walk away from the podcast.
Audio podcast. You really mid podcast. You really need to check on those
keeping up appearances.
Yeah, of course.
Make sure
you gotta look good.
Sam.
I mean, we're all wearing our podcast hats, right?
Yeah.
Mine's bright orange and says Sunset Overdrive on it, so...
Oh, good.
Mine is purple with stars on it and says, yes, like Mickey Mouse.
I'm pulling a bayonet this week. I just have lots of hair.
Is that implying that you want to get fucked like Mickey Mouse?
Presumably. I wasn't really told. I was just issued it.
How does Mickey Mouse get fucked?
Same way. Okay. Face down or something? I don't know.
Sam, right.
Yeah? Okay.
Right. Is your logo still a Halo emblem with a splat on the top of it?
Yes.
Is that good?
It's not trademarked by anyone, so yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Just as long as it's not, like, seen as transformative or something.
It's also not identical to the Halo 1. It doesn't have swords, it has a different shaped shield.
Also, Sam, I haven't voted for you on Greenlight yet.
Fuck you.
I haven't either, because I've been on Steam
Okay, well, that's fine.
What?
I am good at it.
No.
Yeah.
Jerks.
I'm going to do it right now, actually.
While we're doing it, I have a bone to pick.
Okay.
Do pick the bone.
Pick it.
So this week, a few things came out that I was very much looking forward to. That turns out that the machines that I have are not good enough for.
Wow.
Yeah, so Grim Fandango Remastered came out.
Yeah.
And my computer is too crap for it.
Wow.
Even if I turn off the graphical options. And if I try playing it using the very much work in progress residual VM, which is like a scum VM equivalent for Grim and Monkey Island 4, basically.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the Vita version is fine, so...
Yeah,
whatever.
I was about to say, Tommy, you're doing it wrong. You own a Vita.
Yeah, I already got the I got the 32 gig memory cards.
What's this about Vitas?
I'm
a strong counterpoint to the Vita conversation.
You mean
So that
you need me here.
That
you
was really sorted do. Out. But another thing came out that I was very much looking forward to. In fact, it was the thing that I was looking forward to ever since the first iPad was announced 5 years ago. And that's an iOS port of Heroes of Might and Magic 3, called the Restoration of Erathia, available now. And
it doesn't have the DLC. No,
it doesn't, because apparently they didn't
You're
have...
calling it DLC.
I'm so modern, you see. Oh-ho!
Yeah, you have to buy it separately.
In about 10 years, you're gonna have that Freudian slip happen with microtransactions.
So. Yeah. So, and the thing is,
sure, that's Freudian.
I have the first iPad Mini, which is basically the same hardware as iPad 2, and it has 512 megabytes of RAM, which are apparently not enough for this game. Which I played on 32 megabytes of RAM on my computer in 99.
Yeah,
they redid the graphics, yes, which I do not notice.
Is it noticeable?
No, it isn't. But so maybe you need the Retina display to actually do notice. Because I think the original game ran in like 800 by 600.
I think it's 64 by 480, actually.
Okay. Okay, and whereas the non-Retina iPad is 1024 by 768, so not that big of a difference. And yeah, the problem is, like, the game boots up, I start a campaign, everything is fine, everything is smooth, the controls are pretty well done, because you know how in the PC game, like, just moving your mouse over something is important?
So
they solved it by basically tap once, that's a mouse over, tap again in the same spot, and that's the mouse click.
Ah, that works.
Yeah, so... and randomly, when I go into a town, or just open up the town view, it just runs out of memory and crashes.
There's something,
yeah, because when you run out of memory, basically everything that's out of the ordinary and an app crashes.
And, wow.
I tried doing the standard thing, which is like, okay, close everything else, basically kill all the apps and power cycle the iPad. And okay, I got like two turns and then it's crashed again. And then I noticed in the App Store description, it's like recommended devices, iPad 3 and newer, or iPad mini second generation and newer. Which basically means, you shouldn't be buying it on anything worse than that, but we're still going to sell it anyway.
Oh, that's lame.
Because there are ways to make the game not show up on certain devices. But I guess it would be... you'd basically have to resort to saying that you require specific hardware things like the magnetometer or gyroscope, which I can see how Apple will take an issue with when they just try and approve it. It's like, wait, but your application isn't actually doing that. So
why don't you just buy the expansion pack? You know, that red thing that fits into the top of the NC... I'm sorry, you're on my iPad, aren't you?
Yeah, it would be nice, but...
it would be nice.
And the thing that I'm really... most disappointed at is that it's .emu that did the port. And they have a very good track record of iOS ports. I mean, they did Another World, they did Defender of the Crown, they did The Last Express, and lots of other things. The usual trademark of those ports is that it runs on pretty much everything that they sell it on, and they always have a nice way of solving the issue of lacking any buttons or keyboard or mouse input. So hopefully this will get patched, because if not, then I guess I'll have to wait a few months until I get a new thing to play it on. But as I said, I got a 32 gig Vita memory card, so I tried downloading everything I have and it didn't fit. I don't think I got half the things that I have on my account, so this will keep me busy. So, yeah.
It doesn't seem like a very... at least for the PC, it seems like a very poor thing to get.
What do you mean?
The HD thing.
Like there's absolutely no point the PC version now. Because I guess online multiplayer, but it uses Uplay, so fuck it.
Does it?
Yeah, and I'm surprised. Because it's very much ripe to use like Game Center for multiplayer, because actually you get... like, Game Center takes care of dealing with turn-based stuff. Like, you can leverage a lot of the work just by using Game Center. And it is a turn-based game, but I understand that... No, it must use Uplay or nothing! Because at the end of the day, it's published by Ubisoft.
It's very expensive to run PC.
Really? How much is it?
Wait.
Like 20
wait.
Euros?
Wait. I'm getting the price. Vid, sing for me while I'm getting the price.
Dum da da. Da-da-da-da. Killing in the name of.
Oh, goddamn Steam.
Fuck the police coming straight out of the underground. A young chap's got it good because I'm brown. Not the other color, so police think they have the authority to carry out inquiries.
Okay, that's quite
that
enough.
That was a reference.
That was a reference to a bit I re-listened to very, very recently.
And
that's why I know it.
You're a horrible boy. The price is
€15.
Oh, and it has no of the expansions. So it's only the base game, which if you go on GOG, it's like $6 for everything.
I think so.
Yep.
Maybe 8, but you know.
But Ubisoft are going to get rid of that soon because that's how they reacted to Tetris being better everywhere else except their version.
I don't know. Shouldn't they have gotten rid of it before?
Tetris, the difference was those were developed by other people. They still get the money from the GOG one. So,
yeah.
They probably leave that up.
But I get the feeling that everyone's going to cotton on to the whole. Oh, wait, the much better, much.
Yeah, I mean, remember when EA tried to pull Dungeon Keeper?
Did they?
Yeah, that's when God gave away Dungeon Keeper for
free. Oh, that's why I have it for free. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you're taking that off in a week. Okay.
Fuck
everyone
you,
gets
son.
Dungeon Keeper.
Love it. I like GOG.
And EA was like, okay.
I guess we shouldn't take this away. No, I guess you shouldn't.
They did the same with Fallout, was it?
Fallout was disappearing.
Was taken down for a different reason, though, and it is back up now, I think.
Yeah, but still, it just said, oh, but fuck you. It's free. Free, bro.
So the moment Ubisoft make plans to get rid of that on good old games, good old games are going to be like, hey, guess what you're all getting for free?
I hope they give us Heroes 2 as well.
Oh, I want to play Heroes 2 again.
I love Heroes 2. Sam.
It's a good game.
Yes.
I voted for your game on Steam Greenlight.
Yay!
It's called Outside Influence.
Well. Yes,
it's called Outside Influence.
Yes, and if you search Outside Influence, you won't find it.
Really?
Go to Greenlight. Yeah.
But if you search outside, you will find it.
Yeah, that was the thing. I searched outside, and it came straight up as the first result.
Yeah,
when
I searched outside Influence, it's weird. But
flaky.
More importantly, I watched the teaser trailer. Really good trailer.
It's a good trailer.
I'm not entirely happy with it myself. So.
It was good. A really good mix of the footage used with music. It got me really interested to play it. So
there were lots of corridors.
Yeah, the music was fantastic.
Corridors.
The music was very good. And you know what? There was shadows.
It's
in
so
it.
Good that it turned Matt into a robot. Yeah.
Oh. Is it a sex bot?
I think he's only a robot for you, Adam.
Yeah, none of us heard it.
It was. There were good.
I think
corridors.
Adam has some bias against.
I think Adam has fat biased because he is bought out by EA.
It was me who tried to get rid of Dungeon Keeper. All along,
totally. You bastard.
On the subject of the trailer, actually, I will say just for the record, I did kind of cheat. The two shots at the beginning of Above Ground are not my maps because I haven't built the intro maps yet.
Yeah, I saw the credits in the end.
Yeah, so I've used D Forest by Robert.
Oh, I guess I changed my vote then.
Duresta and one from episode two.
But
so
the main important
really
bit that I was the main important bit that I was really really happy with was all of the different maps and how unique everything looked.
Yeah, as in everything to get a good mix. And you know what's funny enough? There's only actually about three maps in that video.
That's what makes it so cool.
Yeah.
Trailers. Come on.
There's everywhere. Not including the two forest maps, obviously.
The color scheme on some of them, the way that like the contrast is used, it genuinely really really exciting.
It looks like someone that knows what he's doing made it.
Well, I've spent too fucking long making it, so I hope I know what I'm doing now.
But, yeah.
I mean, I got my results back for a simulated world assignment, which was a level design assignment in Unreal 4. I got 92.4%.
Are you winning another Nobel Prize?
I beat everyone else in the class, so...
Are you getting upgraded from Lord to Super Lord?
Are you a Star Lord?
No. I'm still just Lord President. Although it does mean technically,
maybe
if I were to legally change my name to Business, I would be both Lord and President Business.
Ooh.
Which would make me happy.
Oh, Sam. When are you gonna get a real name?
I have a real name.
Sam is a shit name.
I have several names that I use on different places in the internet.
Okay, Sammy Sam Sam, that's also a shit name.
Why aren't you called Jericho?
Because I'm not an American TV show about post-nuclear apocalypse.
Why aren't you named Clarabelle?
Because I don't particularly like that name.
Why aren't you called Gilbin X Mechatalk?
Because I'm not a DeviantArt user in 2006.
Yes, you are.
Why do you always frown when we call you Smamuel?
Yeah. I never notice when you do it. So
why is it that every single time I try to fist bump you, you never know what I'm talking about you?
Because,
come on. Bro.
Sam, how come every time I come to your house, you keep saying, oh, you gotta leave.
You've never come to my house.
Yes, so. I have. You're always drunk when I'm there. You never
I think you've
been sleeping.
Wrong housemate.
Resident or evil?
Resident.
Cat or dog?
Cat.
Vid or me?
I'm gonna say Vid because he remembers my name.
Okay. I've been going through this, right?
Okay.
We have been going through who would you want to watch wank, me or Vid? And you chose Vid. Or who do you want to watch you wank, me or Vid? You choose Vid.
What?
You always say it because you don't know what I look like. But you do know what I look like. I look just like WoW Krendor.
Okay. I have no confirmation of this.
Sam, do you want to
hearsay.
Do you want American, you know, Maddie, also known as WoW Krendor, watch you wank?
None of you watch.
I need to watch you wank.
No, you don't.
One of us needs to be there to adjudicate.
We need to know that you're actually doing it and not just lying about it.
You could be lying about it to spread the gay agenda, Sam.
Yeah, I know you like to spread your seed, and you know we need to know.
We Sam, really do.
Get it out.
Get what out?
Have a go at it.
Have a go at what?
You're willing.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Sam, just whip it out.
I'm
hit it with your best shot.
Whip it
good.
Sam, we know that you love masturbating. Just do it.
What the hell is masturbating?
That's really manly masturbating.
It's the same as... basically, masturbation is to masturbation as saxophone is to saxophone. Just better in every way.
It's just, you know, Sam is really good at it too. He has gotten... He got a prize at school for being a really good wanker.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Sam, and a scam. Was there
a school assembly where, like, the headmaster comes up and says, children, you all gathered here today to bear witness to a really good masturbator.
Look at him toss off. It's just...
And then you go up, you're in your little school uniform, and then you get a little trophy, and then you say thank you to everyone.
And you show them how you did, you know, they all want to know, the little boys and girls.
They want to know the secrets.
It's like, how can I masturbate like you?
This isn't something that you wanted to do, this is something that the crowd insisted, as in... When you get the trophy and you do a little thank you speech, they're all like, show us.
Sam, every rose has thorn. So start wanking.
Sam.
And instead of a badge, they just draw a dick on your uniform
and then
a sharpie.
And then the moment you start, you just say, here I go again on my own.
Sir, sir, sir. This, I am Sam's head teacher, teaching an assembly. Look at me. Okay, time to bring out one of the good little boys from the school. The best wanker in all the county, Samuel Morris. Otherwise known as Gilbin X Mechatalk.
Right. Hello, everyone. I'm gonna wank.
Get going. Come on.
Oh.
At this point, everyone's clapping in unison.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It starts off as a round of applause, but like a weird, like the weird Illuminati. What am I on about? The Freemason dinner that I waited on just a few weeks ago. They all just suddenly started clapping in unison.
And if anyone does start singing one of those pagan songs from The Wicker Man, that's completely unrelated, but yeah. Maybe it is.
So we're not...
What, phallic
we're not...
symbol, phallic symbol?
Yeah. So, well, it's appropriate.
So we might burn you in a giant Wicker Man if you don't wank.
They start. They all start just humming, just a dry, droning hum. But don't worry about that. That's just part of the ritual.
And you're just going at it.
Please ignore the giant Wicker Man we have constructed.
And the bees.
Yeah. Don't focus on the bees.
Definitely not the bees.
They're not connected.
They are in a barrel labeled not the bees. So.
We are... The giant Wicker Man we have built is literally as a giant DVD copy of the Wicker Man, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And don't worry about the men dressed in robes at the back of the hall.
I know what you're thinking, right? I can probably have hazard a guess as to what you're thinking. Did we construct a school assembly to celebrate your wanking just so that we can eventually put you in a giant Wicker Man as part of a pagan ceremony?
I mean, it's very not likely a lot, but it could happen.
Yeah, as in it could happen, but I would be offended if you thought that.
I mean, Sam.
I am offended
Sam,
that you would
be pushing that. We are your only friends. No one.
I'm offended that Adam considered you might consider it.
Yeah. Hey,
I mean, there was a point when I was constructing the giant Wicker Man and like calling people to find not bees. As in, I'd call people up and say, I don't want to find any bees. Wink.
Wink, wink.
But in the middle of it, I was sort of thinking,
bees. I thought you said bees wink.
What?
I've been scavenging eBay for bees wink all week.
Well, there's the problem.
No, you want to look for Steve Swink. He's making a good game.
Oh, okay.
Is it Swank?
It's called Scale.
That sounds pretty swank.
If we can't get any bees, I guess I am just going to have to shove my hands into his face to imitate bees. If we were to have bees, which we don't.
At this point, could we just set, you know, can't we just murder him with a gun or something?
But then how will we see him wank?
We can wank up his corpse.
I don't think
the blood flow will get into his penis.
It's okay. I have a pump.
Will we be doing this in the middle of the school assembly? So that's how he dies.
I think we can have the kids partake.
I mean,
I think no. At this point, I mean, everyone's free to go. Well, I mean, it's clearly just degenerated.
The assembly is sort
and if
of
they
want to
stay, then
they can't go. The school festival doesn't end until 2 hours later.
Come on, it's you know, harvest season. We have to prepare the harvest.
Yes, this is the Horn of Plenty.
For fuck's sake, Sam,
this is the best thing we've ever done.
I mean, it is a lot of fun to murder Sam.
Oh.
Sadly, it's a trick you can only really do once.
Yeah.
You know what? I would do it to him all day long.
Not possible. Murder. You do it once, and then you'd be like, "Well, what do I do with the rest of the day? Want to go to Subway?"
Well, I would fondle your.
That is generally what I do after murder. Like, I don't hide the body immediately. First, I need to go get a nice big chicken sub.
You know, eat fresh. Mm. Am I right?
Yeah, of course.
Eat fresh.
Subway is. Nice.
I mean, you just
burn
so many calories.
Your nutrition is the most important thing here, really.
Well. Yeah.
You gotta make sure you got some good salad in there. You know,
well, murder takes effort. You burn calories. I will say,
throw
the chemical balance off. Balance.
Yeah. It needs some electrolytes.
It's either Subway or McDonald's. Like, oof. You had to.
I mean,
it's like, yeah, like, but McDonald's isn't as good for you. I mean, it's a little bit cheaper, but you know,
it's fine. Well, I think it's going to be that much
depends on
where,
on, like what hour you've murdered someone. Because if it's at midnight, you don't have much of a choice. Because
that
open.
Is true. I like to murder.
It's true. You can always order Domino's. They're open till 5 a.m.
That is true. That is true. But I don't know. I don't know. I like pizza a whole lot, but after murder, I don't know.
We talk it well. Kebab pizza is great.
Cheese can get you blocked and stuff.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's why you get kebab pizza.
In that case, it's better to just get the pizza before you kill someone, really.
I'm not good at thinking ahead. I just want to murder Sam now.
The thing is, I need to have a clear head to you know, dispose of the corpse and all that stuff. I find Subway makes me paranoid, so I don't really go in for that stuff.
I can see that.
I was in town just yesterday eating a Subway. Whoa. sitting at the window watching the people go by, and every time one of them would I was eating a foot long sub, and I had a cookie as well and a drink.
Oh, nice, fancy.
I tend to go for a bag of chips actually.
Yes, fair. It's a fair choice if you fancy the salt rather than the sugar, or you know, whatever. But I was eating a foot long sub, and just every time someone would look into the window, like, this is my choice. I have chosen to sit at the window seat looking out onto a kind of pedestrian precinct of shopping.
A walkie walk.
And every time someone looks at me, I scowl at them as if to say, fuck you, don't judge me, you're going into TK Maxx.
What's TK Maxx?
It's like a warehouse shop. Discount overflow type shop where they don't ever stop.
Why would you go in there?
Well, TK Maxx, you can good, you know, you can find some deals.
Yeah,
there
are brand name shoes at heavily discounted prices. If only you can find them.
Yeah,
sometimes you'll only find one of them.
I mean, I found a really nice rucksack there, but I had to dig through like a pile.
Oh, look at me! I find rucksacks.
This was like 6 years ago.
See, Sam, this is why we want to murder you.
Because a rucksack is a little bit of place where we can get together.
That would be the worst B-52 style party ever. Everyone in like beehive hairstyles. Everyone pretending it's a beach party at a fucking department store.
But that's the thing. They might have a Chrysler that says, "Big as a whale!"
And it's about to set sail! Sorry.
It sees about 20.
So you better hurry up.
That's a good
feature, actually. Fucking B-52s are the best band in history.
You know what?
They are liars sometimes.
Well, they say,
"Yeah, we saw Iraq. It wasn't Iraq. Why the fuck did you say it was Iraq?"
Classic bait and switch, B-52s. Fuck you. Yeah. You lead me on with this story about a rock, and then suddenly, oh no, it wasn't a rock. Well, fuck you. Stop
getting me all interested.
You are too sensitive. You need to just calm the fudge down.
It's not my fault, right? If people make interesting and affecting narratives and then fuck off with them. Mass Effect 3 all over again.
You know what? I don't know what your name is, but I'm going to kick your ass once I find out.
It's Mass Effect 3 all over again.
I think we
fucking
need to retake
Rock Lobster.
Hashtag
Rock Lobster Gate.
Hashtag where should I put Sam Moore's corpse?
Under a pier.
Don't you have
a crawl space where you live?
Yeah, but then it will smell. Although I don't know if you'd be able to smell it over the regular
Sam
smell.
Sam already smells, to be honest with you.
I think you should dress Sam's corpse up in a dress and then pretend it's your mother.
Oh! Can we do like a weekend as Bernie's type of situation?
Weekend at Bernie's mixed with Psycho.
Yes.
I really prefer it if you did a sort of a Pirate's Cove type thing.
Sam, I'm going to need you to grow a big mustache before we kill you. Can you have that done by the week?
I don't know.
Sam, I really want to kill you now.
I can't help feeling that Sam might have just switched off a la Jonathan Holmes or Adam Owen.
I'm sorry.
I'll be honest. It's been going on for 20 minutes.
It has.
I kind of switched off after 5.
I think it was when, yeah, as in...
I heard Love Shack halfway through that.
Sam, why won't you return my love?
Shack.
Last Christmas he gave you his heart, Sam.
This is when Matty breaks into singing Adele songs.
Sam, I just want you to love me.
Also, that's a Bob Dylan song.
Sam, I want you to love me and for you to stop bleeding on my couch.
That is so fucking rude. I hate when friends bleed on my couch.
It sounds like, you have a couch? It's a new one. I'm going to bleed on it. Oh.
Look at me, I have blood.
Oh. If you're bleeding, fucking tell me. Bring a blanket before you sit on the damn couch.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't mind patching you up, but don't fucking stain my couch.
I have guests coming tomorrow. I have the Prince of Siam.
Do you know what's even worse, though? When they bleed on your carpet.
Ooh, that's hard to get out. That's
impossible to get out. It doesn't come out.
It's like shit. You're having the vicar for tea, right?
Yeah, and then he comes out.
Yes, like he sees your messy carpet and it's like, there's a big red stain on the carpet. What's the vicar going to think of you?
You're going straight to hell.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
If the Pope comes around to my house for tea on a Tuesday evening,
and crumpets,
as tends to happen.
I think we should roleplay this. I'll be the Pope and you be the person who's stating up tea.
Okay. I'm pouring up some nice vanilla caramel tea at the Pope likes. Oh, that must be the Pope right now.
Hello, I'm the Pope. I'm really looking forward to all of this. What have you got for dinner for me tonight?
I have some lovely steak.
Well, that's it. Oh, that sounds lovely.
Just a steak.
Oh, it's just a big old steak.
Old steak.
I've been looking forward to this.
That's the Catholic steak.
Well, it's not a steak unless it's a big, big Catholic steak. Well, I have been looking. What's that? Is that blood?
Carpet? Adam Ola was over here, and someone had stabbed him. I think it was Maddie again.
Oh, is this how you treat a guest? I am offended right now.
I tried to get it out, but it would just spread more when I scrubbed, and I...
Did you try to seal it back?
Try white wine?
Did that get the blood right out?
Seal it bang? Huh.
Did you bang it?
Do you have any seal it bang with you, Pope?
Sadly, on this occasion, I don't happen to have any seal it bang on me.
That is a shame, because you are the official spokesperson for seal it bang.
Most of the time, yes, I am, but he caught me at a disadvantage.
He usually carries around like an entire 2-liter bottle of Perval fabric softener that he brings out in mild conversation.
I think that's a bit suspect because he also smells quite heavily of it and he seems a bit unsteady on his legs. So
I have heard
he's not the Pope unless he's unsteady on his leg.
But I have heard that the Pope will just walk up to a seat that he's supposed to be sitting on, and if he sits down on it and then realizes that it's not soft enough, he will just pour an entire vat of fabric softener on top of it, and then stand there waiting.
That's part of some ritual, and some are saying it's just because he's always drunk.
Some say it's just he likes to sit on soft seats.
Well, who doesn't?
I don't think that though.
That seemed pretty far fetched to me, but I just want to posit all parts of the argument.
So at this point, I think the Pope just sort of got sick of everything and just shoved your TV over and then just left.
Oh. Yes, now I need to buy a new CRT TV.
Classic fucking Pope.
It was
a nice
88 model from 1988.
Yeah,
it had little dials for channels. I like that.
Every now and again, the vertical sync would mess up. You have to twist a little.
It could run NES games at a decent enough color.
Whoa!
Yep. He was looking forward to that steak, but now he has driven his little Pope car to Pizza Express,
which is basically it's a clown mobile, really.
So that's developing news.
He parked right inside the Pizza Express, as he drove from the road into the restaurant itself and told him to just give him a pizza.
So now I need to eat a large Christian steak. And I'm an atheist. I don't eat Christian steak. all by myself and drink 2 cups of vanilla caramel tea.
All your fault.
Yeah, Adam. Oh, you won't eat Christian steak, but you'll eat Christian Bale. Fucking hell.
So what?
Whenever I serve up Christian Bale, you always eat him.
He is a hunky dreamboat, though. He was a Batman poorly for a minute.
For a minute. You know, it's like 5 years.
Yeah, then he was shit out.
There was a bit where he was Moses and he was like the one white guy in all of Egypt. And it was amazing.
So developing Rock Lobster Gate news. We've got some Andrea Ritsu tweeting that the right hand cause that she believes that the B-52s couldn't believe that the B-52s would lead us on thinking it was a rock when it wasn't a rock, right? We should be retaking Rock Lobster hashtag Rock Lobster Gate, but like any good gator, I will now create a fake Twitter account to say. Fuck you. If you couldn't figure it out, then it's your fault.
To be fair, can they prove it wasn't the rock? Do they have any credible evidence? I don't believe so.
I mean, can anyone?
No, I think they're full of shit. I think they're trying to sell us on the idea that it's not a rock to get the rocks for themselves.
They're trying to take it out of the rocks, really.
They're like... rock obsessives, basically.
This isn't about them. It's about my childhood.
I need to know what Jenny from the Blocks think about this. You know, she still has. We can't be fooled by her rocks.
I don't think she's from the block either. Can she prove that she's from the block? Have we seen her birth certificate?
No, not the long form one.
Obama.
Obama.
Everything leads back to Obama.
White people are going to get so pissed off when they don't have Obama to blame on everything anymore.
I'm going to blame you, then.
Like, when Obama, if we're lucky, when Obama takes his rocket ship...
And then, oh shit, hell will break loose.
When Obama takes his rocket ship out of the White House and then moves to the moon, every single Republican's going to be like, was it... But we miss him. We miss having someone to blame on everything.
Also,
we love him more than anyone else possibly could.
Also, we really wish he hadn't painted the moon black.
And
that was sort of inappropriate.
Painted.
We
painted
can't
black.
See it.
Black as night, black as coal. He won't see the sun blooded out from the sky.
Yeah, well, that's just because he sold it to
the... He won't see it painted black. Now!
If
you hadn't realized by now, listeners, that was a reference to a song.
Was it?
Which song?
I don't know. Something from the Guitar Hero 3 soundtrack.
Probably.
It was a reference.
I think it was No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
I think it was Aqua.
I think it was Shiny Happy People.
Which actually had the woman from the B-52s in it.
Well, it could have been.
Everything is connected. Don't you realize?
Shiny Happy People is one of my favorite REM songs, and I bet that pisses off REM fans.
well, they don't have a band.
Sort of like, no, that's not them. They're moody. They're gritty. They're realistic. No, this is their Nintendo song.
No, yeah, this is the Wind Waker of our discontent.
Oh, core, mate, core.
I think, quoth the bard, this is the Wind Waker of our discontent.
You know what? I'm just overwrought with emotions right now.
I've been playing Nintendo games recently.
Why?
So have I! Oh, high five! We did it.
Adam, let's pretend you did.
Adam, why does your hand feel like a wooden table?
Well,
he got wood.
Oh my god, Adam, you lost your arm!
I have sort of played Nintendo games.
Shut up.
I've played a Nintendo device with a game.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ooh, well, that's exclusive to Nintendo.
Whoa.
Adam, what have you been playing just to kick off?
Monster Hunter 4.
Ooh.
I got the limited demo.
Ooh.
And it's good. It's really good. It's Monster Hunter, but it's like just so improved.
I'm going to wait until I get that new 3DS and then I can play it properly.
That's the one thing I don't like at the moment is that, you know, I sold my Circle Pad Pro because I didn't like it. So now I'm sitting here having to use the touchscreen for the camera, which is not good. It's just not good. The controls are shit.
Problems.
Yeah, I mean, like, you already have a DS. That's good. I recently ordered the new 3DS XL. Oh my goodness, did you get the...
I got the Majora's Mask one!
So did I!
Oh my god!
To complete the saga, so essentially, Nintendo did a Nintendo, which is, of course, release a limited edition, allow anyone to buy as many as they want, and only create 10. And obviously one person bought all 10. And then they sold out within, I think, 25 minutes.
I got the first wave of the consoles, as in, that was me.
That was you. You got the entire first wave, yeah. Adam got all 10.
Blame him.
Then they realized their issue, cancelled 9 of Adam's orders, and put the rest of them up for sale, and I got one of those, because they finally realized that maybe limiting it to one per person is a good idea when having limited editions sold online.
I don't think they realise that.
So are you getting a wave that are going to be released around the end of March?
Yes.
Right, because I'm getting the proper launch one with a... I'm also getting the Skull Kid figure with it.
I am also getting that.
And I'm also getting a free charger.
Charger also in the bundle that they were releasing at the end of March. But unfortunately, I do have to wait that little bit extra time, but I'm not too worried. Eventually will be able to play Majora's Mask 3DS.
But either way, yeah, we're going to be Nintendo buddies.
Yes, we are. We're gonna send little tingle bottles to each other and probably interconnect somehow.
That sounds.
Will there be snogging involved?
And in the background, the music playing will be "Whoa ho ho, it's magic." You know?
Are you kidding? In the background, the music will be. Just to point out, if anyone's not played Majora's Mask, that's exactly how discordant it gets on the third day.
Yeah.
The moon is literally about to hit the ground, there's like three different tunes playing, yep. And it's going so really good. Fast, and it's it like you're really worried on the end of that last day because the way the music and the sound are integrated is that you actually genuinely get scared of the sound that the thing
game
is making.
Has amazing sound design.
That's the reason I'm getting a Majora's Mask tattoo is because it was the thing that made me. Like sit up and take notice of sound design, and that's the thing I want to do for my career now. So I know it's going to have a lasting effect on my life. Therefore, I am happy getting a tattoo of it.
I have a question about the 3DS version. Is it going to utilize the second analog controller?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You can use it to free.
Obviously, you won't need it because the original game doesn't use it. But they have added for the first time ever, Nintendo. Actually understands something.
What?
And decided that, wait, a third-person 3D game with a direct camera control? Well, that doesn't somehow stop the rest of the game if you push it in a certain direction? Oh, incorrect. We can do that. So if you had a Circle Pad Pro...
Mario Sunshine had camera control.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Mario 3D Sunshine did, but it was only inverted.
I've just started playing Mario Sunshine again for the second, for the third time. And it's true. The first thing I was struck by was this fucking inverted camera control that cannot be changed. And literally, I had to hook my emulator. Sorry, I'm emulating. I do have a GameCube, and I bought the game. Shut up, Nintendo.
I had to literally reverse the right control stick on my emulator because I just couldn't figure it out.
That's what I had to do as well for that game and Final Fantasy XII. It's really annoying. But for my Resident Evil 3D, for the first time, Nintendo has taken an old game, added something new into it that actually was needed, which is proper camera control. So I think it's the first Zelda to have proper camera control.
Yep.
And if you have a SyncPad Pro or the new 3DS, you can use it. It's not exclusive to the new 3DS. And that's cool.
Did any of the Zeldas on GameCube have any kind of camera control?
They tried, sort of.
Because I know that there was... I don't know about Twilight Princess, because that was a Wii game kind of backported, but like...
Wind Waker had a free control.
Wind Waker had a camera control, which was also inverted, but it had this weird thing where it could, like, you could get stuck in first-person mode, I think, if you pushed up on it. I don't know, something was weird about it, and if I recall correctly, they didn't add regular, like, standardized modern 3D camera controls to the HD version either. The Wii versions, neither Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword had proper camera control. Ocarina of Time 3D did not have proper camera control. So this is the first one. And Hyrule Warriors did.
I mean, what are the odds that the camera in Majora's Mask is also inverted?
I don't know, but I sure as fuck hope the options let us set it one way or the other.
We hope, but
Japan tends to prefer inverted left and right.
Wow.
That's why it's often standard. And in PS2, GameCube, Xbox era, that's why a lot of games only had inverted, because there were Japanese games that didn't have an option in Japan because they didn't know we wanted the other thing around the standard. And in localization, it just wasn't fixed because, well, that's extra hours. Or it's 10 minutes, but still. So you had games like Final Fantasy XII, which is like big... 2006 it came out in the US, and 2007 in Europe. Big AAA title, Final Fantasy, doesn't have settings to change inverted camera controls. Like, that was the same year Gears of... That was a year after Gears of War came out, wasn't it?
Goodness.
So, like, camera controls had been established by that point.
Yeah, they'd been rigidly locked behind a giant muscled man. I mean, like, if that's not standardized camera controls, then I don't know what is. But no, you make a good point. We seem, in the West at least, seem to have settled around a default non-inverted camera. I know a lot of people, I know there's a lot of Inversitrons out there who are like, but if you pull the stick back, like you pull your head back, then you look up. That makes sense, right? You make sense.
Yeah. It makes sense for a flight game, but...
I think why it has become that way is because we in the West, as when we started playing around with 3D cameras, we got used to it on PC games and first-person shooters and third-person shooters using a mouse. In which, you know, it's right to turn right. In Japan, that wasn't really the case. Like, games like first-person games came to Japan as well, but mainly if they were on consoles. PC gaming is still not that big in Japan outside of MMOs and visual novels. So what they instead had to get the sensory into that was stuff like flight games. Like, flight games was a big 3D thing. When Ace Combat became a thing, when mech games became a thing, like it was all about this sort of steering a mechanical thing, and it makes sense to have inverted that. When I play a flight game or like a big mech game, in which I can go up and down, I want down on the stick to have me go up because that feels right then. So I think that's why that happened. Like, if we had played the same games as we evolved our style of designing games, we probably would have the same line of thinking, but we didn't.
Yeah, I think just generally it behooves people to sort of actually provide an option for that shit, because really, if you're going to try and go if you're going to be going international with a release, like, the least you can do, I think that should be kind of part of localization. You know, that should be part of it.
Which let's not forget was the only excuse Nintendo of Europe always had for, hey, why does it take 1 year for Animal Crossing to come out? Why does it take like half a year for Smash Brothers Brawl to come out? Oh, we have to localize it.
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, these days, it's very uncommon to not have the option to invert at least left or right. So it's been fixed now. Like, there was,
it's on PC. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but even on console games, like, what? I don't think I've played a Japanese game in, like, the last, I don't know, 5 years. That game has been like, oh, sorry, you can only play with inverted controls. And I played a lot of them. Even like, niche, like, small games, like, they... Yeah, they tend to have the option, or sometimes they even only standardize the regular controls. So, yeah.
There's some interesting chat about control schemes, guys.
It's good to have them sometimes.
However, on the other hand, if you don't play a flight game inverted, you are wrong.
Yeah,
that's true. Everyone knows that. Yeah,
I would like to bring a short topic up here, because Vid and me have been very excited to talk about this.
Have we?
Look forward to it.
As you all know, it was recently another Counter-Strike tournament one. So I think it's time for Adam's Esports Thunderdome.
Yeah, Adam.
Okay, so this episode, I'd like to talk about the time I played Mario Golf.
Adam,
on the 3DS.
Adam, shut up.
That's what this Esports Thunderdome is going to be about.
This is nothing about you. This is about proper esports. So hush now.
I think you remember, you're not allowed to talk during Adam's Esports Thunderdome.
Yeah. So, know your place while me and Viddy talk about manly games with guns and shooting.
Where you ask me questions all the way through it and I'm expected to just sit there.
No. We don't care about
that. Not even that. You are very inconsequential to this conversation.
Yeah. So Vid, start us up with the dank Counter-Strike talk.
I really don't know what topic specifically you wanted me to get into.
What did you want from me?
How did you feel about losing all those rares?
The
massive upset of you losing your bets.
I won a few bets, and then from all, like, because you can bet Counter-Strike items on a third party called CSGO Lounge. You can bet on games. I lost a whole bunch of money because I bet on some games that were played online. And I don't know how this still happens, but people get DDoSed. Like, people will bet on the team that's less likely to win, so they get more rewards. And then they DDoS the better team.
Really?
And then the worst team wins. And then somehow that bet still goes through. Like, CSGO Lounge doesn't cancel that bet because of... Because
dumbness,
interferences. So, fuck online games. I'm only watching Lance.
They were being DDoSed by the Illuminati.
I'm only watching Lance from now on. I don't even care about online.
Adam. See how fucking sad you made Vid. Your hexerings has gone over the line.
Over the line.
Adam. Chill the fuck out. Get your tits out, mate.
Anyway. I guess recently some American team was found guilty of match fixing.
More match fixing?
Yeah, match fixing.
And then
before, like, a French team was being accused of cheatering.
Uh-huh.
Is this a sign that as more controversies pumped into esports and legitimized as a pastime, does the people who have the sort of we're going to start seeing more controversy like this because there isn't the infrastructure in place that there is in actual previously legitimized sports for avoiding match fixing and that sort of thing?
Pretty much, yes. Because this isn't, because betting as we know it right now isn't with real money. It is with items that you can get,
and it's through third party places, and
it is through third party places. Like, it is not technically betting, but those things do have a value because it's a virtual currency almost. You know,
keys are basically currency.
I don't even know, man. I mean, I think this is just a sign of it becoming of growing. That's growing pains.
really.
Mm.
It's stuff that's bound to happen. And I'm like, some people sort of really demonize all this gambling that's been going on, but it's immensely helpful to the growth of the sport. So I don't think those people who want the betting to be gone know what kind of impact removing betting will have, you know.
It would be like launching a new video format and banning porn on it.
Ooh. Yeah.
The only reason VHS succeeded and Betamax didn't, one of the only reasons, was that VHS had porn and Betamax didn't.
I think the porn industry literally helped VHS take over the world.
What we need is...
And it's similar with Blu-ray and UMD.
What we need,
UMD,
right?
They did allow porn on after a while, but like... It was too little, too late.
Porn also helped the propagation of WMDs, so that you know.
Oh, see what we need, right? We need a official porn and gambling Steam app, so we don't have to go through all these shady places.
Would it be called Blackjack and Hookers?
With drugs. I mean,
I thought you were going to say what we need to legitimize CSGO as an esport. We need to have some of its better members to get into porn.
I mean,
I think they need to get into drugs.
Okay, what we need, right? We need Dendy, the god of CS, and Pasha, the muscly man from Poland, to just ram Sam. They are double teaming Sam, right? And he's just going, one is a twink, one is a hunk.
Next Friday on Fox Channel, tune in to Ram Sam.
Yes, who's going to take it in the ass this time?
That's just pro wrestling now.
Yeah, well, they're
pro wrestling would be way better if they were a lot more explicit about the undertones.
Yeah,
it's like, who's
gonna take it in the ass?
Who's gonna pin who down this time?
Who's gonna just cuddle?
Even just like not fake wrestling, but like the actual, I forget what the acronym is, wrestling. The one that's basically angry hugging. That's
like I watched Foxcatcher recently. It's basically hugging, but you're letting all of your emotions out until someone shoots someone.
Yeah. Spoilers
for real life.
Hey, I don't have a life.
Didn't see that one coming, did you, Adam?
You need to be more sensitive to my needs.
It's spoilers for real life events that actually already happened and have already been well documented.
Hey, Adam, put a finger up my ass.
No.
Deeper.
No, you didn't wipe.
That's your job, buddy.
No, no, it's not.
Hey, little buddy.
We've been through this, it's not.
Hey, little buddy, you want to come over here and help your big bro? Hey, come on there.
This is another hypothetical he came up with for me months ago at this point. He just kept going on about how he's my bigger brother. And that he's going to go into like my room or like sit in his room knowing that I'm going to have to get into his room to like borrow some scotch tape or whatever. He's just going to stand there all day spreading his ass cheeks waiting for me to come in and then go, "Hey, little bro, what are you doing?" With like your pinky is just sort of like shuffling the ass inside. I don't even know, man. That thing went places.
I can't help feeling that this stuff needs recording and then editing down into a smooth ball.
At one point, I started pimping him out to Japanese businessmen.
Like, hey, you were like, "Mr. Nagasaki's gonna like it if you get in your sailor outfit."
Hey, little buddy, you want to meet my friend, Mr. Takahiro over here? Oh, he likes smooth little boys. Oh, little buddy, Mama won't know.
Yeah,
bro.
So yeah, the game I've played a lot is Merry Golf.
How does that relate?
It sort of relates.
Oh.
And that was all for Adam Owens' Esports Thunderdome.
But yeah, Merry Golf on 3DS is fantastic. I love it.
Casual.
It's just so not casual because it's golf. Casual. Which is like the most esports of all sports.
Adam?
Well, it is actually a sport, so it...
Yeah, it's more esports than Counter-Strike because it's actually a sport.
Ooh.
I did some golf last year. I can relate to that.
I reckon you would be able to better relate to it if it was all underwater.
Did you know that the reason that there are so many heart attacks on golf courses is not just because all people who play golf are fat businessmen?
It's Kirk Douglas.
Eat too much and have clogged arteries. But also because the motion of essentially stretching your chest out, then closing it together with your arms, compressing your chest, and then swinging it from side to side is one of the ways that you can most likely induce a heart attack in anyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's that going to mean for Bowser?
Well, he said
that he's husky.
He is a husky.
He makes a lot of excuses for his size.
He is a turtle.
He doesn't take good care
of him. Or maybe he has a pacifier or something.
What about Wario, though, who does not believe in medical?
Well, he gives.
He is a Jehovah's Witness. That is true.
He is. Did you not see how much gold he gathered in Wario Land? He gives no fucks.
But that will not help him in the case of a heart attack in the middle of a golf course. He is a large man.
He's going to just buy a new heart.
He is better than Waluigi, who is extremely thin, which may seem better, but all of his organs are like compressed into this giant stick figure of a man.
One thing nobody knows is that Wario is a Jehovah's Witness and Waluigi is a Scientologist.
Really?
Neither of whom will accept kind of traditional modern medical aid.
Is that why they don't get psychiatric care?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's why both of them are defined by Shishanu.
Cool, mate. Cool.
But yeah, they do a lot of sports together, and I don't think it's healthy for them to not do any other exercise.
Well, I mean, tennis. That's a very good exercise.
But they don't do any they don't do any training. They don't do any like warm ups. They don't do anything other than.
Have you seen that motherfucker smash?
He rides a motorbike half the time.
A fucking cliff every time.
And he go karts, which is, that's just sitting down and having your ass vibrate.
There's a motorbike in Mario Kart that counts.
Yeah, you gotta be fit to ride a motorbike. If you're too weak, you can't lift one of those, and then you don't get the card to drive it.
When it comes down to it, and you're talking about smashes, I am really feeling it. That's all I've got to say.
Are you feeling Smash Mouth?
Really feeling it, yeah. Smash.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
Super Smash Mouth. So,
the other games I've been playing...
Who are you again?
Andrew.
Hey.
The other games I've been playing are... as I said, I've been playing... I'll leave Mario Sunshine to last.
I'm Maddie, by the way.
Hey, nice to meet you. But I've also been playing... I'm replaying Luigi's Mansion, which I still maintain is one of the best games.
Mario! Mario!
Mario!
Mario!
Hey, it reminds me of a thing I need to do on the podcast live. But we'll talk about the games first.
One of my favorite things about Luigi's Mansion, again, going weirdly sound and music design, which Nintendo are, in my eyes, the kings of... they just the way that Luigi walks around whistling his own theme,
and depending on what his health is, he'll sound more scared when he does it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, so basically, like
when he's at 100%, he's like, and then when he's at like 20% health, he's like.
Also, like the deeper into the house you get, the more haunted the area is. He's gonna be like. And you're going to see him whistling and like air coming out of his, you're going to see condensation coming out of his mouth when he's whistling. And it's just really, really good. They do like loads of little different things that actually make you feel like you're in a haunted house, which I know is kind of stupid when you think about, oh, it's Luigi. It's fucking, he's comic relief. But actually, you know, not that it's quite a bit of a scary game, but I genuinely believe that they did a whole load of atmospheric stuff that nobody ever realizes.
I think it's the best case scenario of what if Nintendo made a, like, although it's not really a Scooby-Doo type story, where it's not like a big whodunit, it's such a fantastic atmosphere that...
I think it has some pretty damn scary moments, actually.
Yeah, there's some seriously, like, dark stuff in there as well.
I remember being pretty disappointed when
well, I think it was when they showed off Luigi's Mansion 2, like maybe not the first time, but the second time, because Miyamoto was on screen and was like, oh, don't worry, just because Luigi is scared, it doesn't mean it's a scary game. I'm like, fuck you! The first game was scary!
Yeah, it was scary, yeah. You know, yeah, the second game's a lot more scary. I love it. I love it. Majora's Mask is terrifying.
Majora's Mask is amazing. It's such a great story about just depression and horror.
It's about the thing is, I was explaining to my friend who he's just finished his complete playthrough / walkthrough. It's like a really good mix between a let's play and a walkthrough of Wind Waker HD. Literally 100%. Really, really good guide. Go check it out at The Infamous Gentleman YouTube / whatever. Anyway, I'll probably be doing a Majora's Mask one at some point later this year. But I was explaining to him that Ocarina of Time is basically the extension of. It's not bad. It's not a bad game. But it's flawed, sure. But it is the fulfillment of everyone's wishes to explore the world of Hyrule as posited in the 2D Zeldas. Right? You saw a certain patch of Hyrule, and it was all about exploring. And we wanted to see round the corner and under the bridge and all that stuff that you couldn't see in a 2D world. Ocarina of Time explored that. Then we get to Majora's Mask, and it's less about exploring the world and more about exploring the people in the world. It's a smaller world, and there are everyone's more crammed together, but there are so many people, so many different storylines that you can only even access once you've done certain things and once you've like actually invested the time. You have to spend 3 days or more on certain people's on getting to know certain people just so you can complete quests. There's nothing you can do in Ocarina of Time that allows you to get to know people like that. The people in Ocarina of Time are just story pieces. They're not kind of they're just widgets for Link to get to the next thing. Whereas you really explore people's lives in Majora's Mask, which is what makes it such a fantastic game and what actually lends emotional significance to it.
That's definitely true, because one of the things I found when playing Ocarina, because I finally played the 3DS version, and like it's actually playable on the 3DS. Who knew that the 3DS would give me less of a headache than the N64? I didn't give a shit about any of the characters in that game. Literally none of them. I don't know. There were a couple that I would have liked to, but they vanished after I went ahead in time, and I couldn't find them again. Presumably they were there somewhere. But
the ones you see grow up, I agree with you actually there. The ones you see grow up are the ones you have most investment in.
Definitely, and I couldn't find a couple of them again, so it's like, well, fuck that then. I assumed they were somewhere, and I just couldn't find them, but I didn't care enough to look.
Yeah. I think it's got some interesting themes, like, you know, going back to Kokiri Forest and realizing that everyone around you hasn't grown up, but you have.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I reckon one of the better examples of that was Nobuo, who was the last sage. She was the leader of the Gerudo people.
Yeah, where I really like that
her,
one,
where you meet her as a little kid, and then you have to sort of figure out what happened to her in the intervening years, and then you fight her as the final one of the mid bosses, and you realize what's happened.
And then that owl who was talking to you all the way through becomes the spirit sage, and everyone's just confused.
Yeah.
Why was that owl? Why did that owl need to be in the game?
Because he was the spirit sage. That's it.
They could have just had one less sage.
They could have just looked
and not had an annoying fucking owl.
There was a point when you're at the top of Death Mountain and you're like, wow, I guess I'm going to have to go all the way back down there. And that owl is like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, there was one time I went to the lake and he went, hey, I'm here, I'm going to take you away now. And it's like, fuck you, I didn't want to be taken away, no!
Yeah, I mean, like, the owl in many ways is a surrogate, a shoe-in for the menu screen in Zelda, in 3D Zelda. I don't know, it feels, because obviously in Majora's Mask, you have owl statues to save, you have the, what's it called, the Song of Flight, or whatever it's called, to teleport around the world. It's sort of... that character's got a lot less significance in Majora, but The other thing is the other thing I've been playing is Paper Mario, Super Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door.
That's a really good one.
It is a fantastic game. Well, so far, anyway, I've only got through to the first. I'm starting the first kind of like big castle area thing, but I've just gone to this thing called a Swamp Fortress, in which basically you fight a load of stuff to get to the end. You pass a load of trials and you know, like fight your way to the end. This gatekeeper who's guarding the keys to this castle, and then he's like, "Are you prepared to take me on? Are you prepared to face me?" And then you're like, yeah, go, let's fucking go, because you've just like fought your way here. And then the entire walls of this like stone fortress fall away in jigsaw piece format, which I loved as what seemed to me to be a nod to Banjo-Kazooie. Then jazz music starts like jazzy swing music starts playing. He is suddenly wearing a bow tie. This is a thwomp, by the way, one of those guys who tries to squish you in Mario. And it becomes a quiz show for no reason at all. He's just like, "And now you have to face me in trivia." It's hilarious. I fucking loved it. I laughed out loud. It seems to be a very, like, it's really weird. There's a toad, you know, I don't know what you call the race of toads, but
toads.
Yeah, that's weird that Mario calls one of his best friends just by his race. But hey, who am I to judge? There's a Toad kid who's just obsessed with Fire Emblem. Like, he's walking around town, and every time you talk to him, he's just like, "Hey man, I'm playing this game on my Game Boy Advance. It's amazing. It's called Fire Emblem. You should really check it out." It's so bizarre. It's like meta Mario. It's really, really odd. So yeah, check that out if you get the chance. And then, of course, finally, I'm replaying Super Mario Sunshine.
Super Mario Sunshine.
I really like Super Mario Sunshine.
It's
for a lot of reasons,
one of my favorite Mario games. It might be my favorite Mario game. I love Mario Sunshine.
Good. Super Mario Sunshine is what happens when Mario goes on a holiday to a Spanish resort.
Yeah, so I've probably come to this chat with the wrong point of view, because I agree fairly vehemently with all of you. And normally when I mention Super Mario Sunshine, I get a response of, "It isn't really a Mario game. It's not a good Mario game. This wasn't what I wanted."
Let me guess. Their favorite
bits. Mario 64.
Yeah. Oi.
Bad people.
Mario 64 is just awful.
Mario 64 is a good game. It's genuinely good. It upholds all of the tenets of Mario that
you
expect.
We've had this conversation before, I remember. Can we talk about Mario Sunshine?
Yeah, why can you punch in it?
Why can you hit with a hammer in Paper Mario? Like, he does
because
different
Mario
things
has
sometimes.
A hammer, and he did it in Donkey Kong.
It doesn't matter. You can just attack.
No. He did it in Donkey Kong. Did he punch the barrels? No.
He punches blocks.
I can't be bothered
upwards.
To go through the Mario 64 thing. Let's talk about how Super Mario 64 is Super Mario Waste Disposal Simulator 2015.
You mean Super Mario Sunshine?
Yeah.
The good Mario game. The only good 3D Mario game.
Shut up. Anyway, you're just wrong. But let's carry on with Sunshine.
Okay, you know, I'm right. You know what? Okay, fine. 3D World is good.
3D World was good.
Is really
Galaxy
good.
Was good.
Galaxy's not good.
Galaxy 2 was good. I think all Mario games have been actually pretty good games. Anyway, Super Mario Sunshine.
Not allowed to interrupt Matty anymore.
Okay, go on.
So I'm finding that I'm enjoying. I'm just dreading, because I've played through it before. I'm loving, you know, running around Delfino Plaza and chasing after the secret Mirror Mario with the paintbrush. I'm loving already knowing how to do jump attack, which really, really speeds up cleaning the floor. It's great to clear the place up. I've been, you know, doing the things I used to do, which is really weird, because even though I know it's futile, you know when there are piranha balls rolling down the hill covered in slime, and just like laying out slime, and you have to like, well, no, you have to avoid them, but what you can do is chase after them, because they look like balls of slime that are just rolling down the hill. This is on the first level. And if you chase after them and squirt them, you can see it within is like a piranha plant all rolled up into a ball. And you can completely reveal it, but you can never destroy it until it falls into the water and explodes into nothing. I've still been chasing after those things, even though I know it's futile. Because I like the idea that this fucking, what you think is just a ball of crap, gets rolled, is actually a piranha plant. I don't know. So it's charming. It's a charming game. It's got great music. I love the music. It made me feel kind of weird not being able to do the crouch backflip. But hey, you know, the run one way and jump backwards side flip is good enough for me. And then you get the jetpack. And I think the thing I'm dreading is, A, that feeling of being cast out of that jetpack into the zero levels. And I know that I love the zero levels, right? They're really good. They're really difficult.
Are they, to me, the worst parts of the game where you don't get the jetpack. Water pack?
Yeah.
They are the worst parts of the game because they're not designed for that.
Well, I genuinely think that Mario
some,
still
handles that. Some of them are really good. Some of them are the Pachinko machine.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are.
Yeah,
the Pachinko machine. Oh, my God.
Fuck that fucking level.
But
with fire.
But yeah, so like I like the zero levels. And I think Mario still handles like Mario, even with or without the without the jetpack. But yes, I'm dreading that feeling of, oh shit, this thing I've been getting accustomed to for the entire game is now being ripped out from underneath me, and I've got to learn to play a different game than I was playing before. I understand the revulsion of those kick up when people mentioned them. I'm also just fucking kind of that game has a kind of cap where eventually when they try to make it hard, it's really hard for a bit and it's really fun, and then eventually it just becomes fucking impossible. And like the later levels where you know, there is a load of ooze that you literally can't squirt or you can't get rid of. And you have to use like monkey bars that have underneath the level, in which you've got to like take on enemies that you can't actually attack the enemies. You've just got to avoid them, and it becomes survival horror for some reason.
There's
don't
an
enjoy
entire
it.
Level dedicated to The Shining.
That is true. Actually, I really like that
the entire one. Hotel is infested with booze.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I like the fact that they managed to shoo in a fucking boo house. into Mario Sunshine, like that's amazing. What makes
Super Mario? It's one of those things that make it special. The whole, like I said, it's sort of like going to Tenerife or Ibiza, but this time it's a Mario game. So we got all these Delfino people like running around saying, "Hey, why are you making everything all oily and sticky and shit, Mario? What's up?" But in the meantime, why don't you have a look at our lovely beach resorts? We got a giant theme park over here. We got some very lovely, like, scenic mountainy areas. Oh, look at this little town thing here that's filled to the brim with all the slime that you put everywhere. Why don't you go to your hotel? There are booze there everywhere. And it's something completely different.
The fucking manta ray.
The manta ray, which is also based upon
The Shining, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I love that one.
That's a level that doesn't work in certain versions of the emulators as well.
Really?
Because it's the only level that detects how much paint you've cleaned, and it does it by manipulating something in the pixel buffer, which was not emulated properly in the earlier versions of Dolphin.
Oh.
Meaning that it never finishes the level.
Wow.
Ooh.
That was a tough level anyway, but if you can't finish the level...
The level never ends. But you can fix that by using the newer version of SourceForge.
Okay.
Yeah, the best level is the theme park because you get to go on a roller coaster.
Oh, I don't know. I really like the Shining one. I think I might my favorite.
Yeah, I think it's between those two.
Although Bitter Park, I found that had a lot of sort of. I mean, let's not dwell too long in specifics. We've spent a long time on this already, but it had a lot of irritating things where you had to go up really, you had to climb up really, really high, and if you failed one jump, then you would be back to the very bottom again. I'm not a big fan of vertical levels like that. I wasn't a big fan of it in Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie. I'm not a big fan of it in any platform.
It's a really big problem in that mountain level where there's loads of purple water everywhere.
Yeah, that's a pretty tricky level because you have to climb so much all the time. I think that one. I'm not sure if it's my favorite level, but I really love the. I think it's the last level you unlock.
The volcano level?
Is it the one in the sky?
Yeah, it's the city that you can climb beneath.
That's what I was talking about with the whole monkey bars thing, where you've got to survive rather than kill the enemies, and you can't actually walk on the ground.
Yeah, I like that one.
I found it irritatingly difficult, like to the point where I was just trial and erroring everything, and it was
That's one of those where when you know what to do, it's so stupidly simple that you kind of hate it.
Yeah. That's Super Mario Brothers Sunshine times with a squirty gun.
The Delfino people return in Paper Mario Thousand Year Door as fucking mafia.
They do. That's amazing. I was looking at that, playing the two games in tandem. I was really excited about that. I was like, "Oh ho 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 ho! I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch! Ho 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 ho!"
And now we got to
cook. Walt.
Ho, 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 don't cross the family. Yeah.
It's a shame that all they really do with those characters now is in the background of Mario Kart.
The last time Nintendo really cared about creating new things for Mario. Because, like, the games since then, good or bad, they just basically do variants of classic Mario enemies and stages.
Yeah, I mean, the Loombas are just living stars.
Yeah, but then, it's not, like, a big, cool new thing. Like, in Sunshine...
Well, no, they're just stars.
Isn't, like, every enemy in Sunshine a new enemy? Except, okay... Well, there's piranha plants, but Petey Piranha isn't really the classic piranha plant.
No.
Like, they're all new things, and some of them you just never see again. I think those weird things that flip you away on the beach. Like, yeah.
Yeah, those
I things. Like that.
Oh, wait, although they did appear again in Mario Galaxy 2, the did Delfino
they?
People.
Oh, okay. Oh, Delfino people, okay.
But I think the big thing about Mario Galaxy that really stood out as far as Mario goes is it's the first time they've ever done a Disney plot. It's the most Disney game that Nintendo have made so far. Because the entire backstory of Rosalina, who is the best Mario character ever.
Excuse me, Waluigi.
Well, okay, so she's the second most attractive one.
I'm sorry. Il Palazzimo.
Gumella.
Oh, yeah.
See, we're bringing up all these things you never even considered. Don't have a definitive statement if you can't back it up with hard facts, Adam.
Goombella is the best Mario character.
Goombella.
I still have a soft spot for Rosalina because that
entire... Yeah, you can like Rosalina.
It was the one Vivian bit that everyone hated because it wasn't Mario. As in, it's not like... It's not about...
I hated Rosalina?
Why? I remember reading reviews for Mario Galaxy and everyone's like, the one bit that was wrong was the bit where they talk about Rosalina's backstory because it's not Mario.
Why is that wrong? That was something different. It was them trying something new.
It's the same when people complain of Mario Sunshine because Bowser had a voice actor, which never happened again, unfortunately.
All of the complaints seem to be, why does a Mario game need storytelling? And I'm like, because it's good storytelling where they weave it into the narrative over the course of the game, which all adds up to the finale. That's why it's there.
You're complaining about Mario having storytelling and yet you're going ahead and playing fucking Paper Mario and saying how much you love it. Like, come on! Why can't a regular one have storytelling?
This is why they took the 3DS game and made it exactly the same as the other games. And then with Mario & Luigi 3-4 on 3DS, they did it again. It's pretty much the same plot.
Fucking people... Nintendo needs to stop. Right, okay. In some ways, they need to listen to what people want, and in some ways, they need to stop listening to what people.
It's a bit like I was saying this. I think it was two days ago. I was talking about Nintendo. How like you can't say anything about Nintendo without being labeled a hater and a fanboy at the same time.
Yeah.
Because like whatever you say, positive or negative, about anything. If you say it to one side,
yeah, I reckon if you bring up the fact that they used to do like playing cards, it's like, oh, you like Nintendo, or yeah. You know it because you love them so much.
Yeah, like, I forget what it was I was talking about. I think it was, I don't remember what it was now. It was something about online, and they were doing something stupid again. Oh, the YouTube thing, of course.
Yeah.
I was talking about how they didn't get YouTube. I didn't get modern internet and stuff like that. And naturally, like, I realize as I'm typing it out, like, huh, if I say this towards one crowd, I will get a bunch of people who agree with me, but not because I'm saying something good, but because they hate Nintendo. Mm. If I say it to the other side, I will get people who disagree with me, not because they think what I'm saying is illogical, but because they love Nintendo, whatever they do. That's why you can't have a discussion about Nintendo ever.
I am perfectly able to like Smash Brothers. Fucking whatever the fuck they called it this time around. They didn't, did they? They just called it Smash Brothers. The new one, but still not want a Wii U. And yet, a lot of people don't seem to.
Oh shit! They're going to call the next Smash Bros. New Super Smash Bros. Won't they?
It's stuff that TV learned in the 90s. You don't call shit the New Adventures of Superman because it's
the 80s. The new Scooby-Doo. Like, that happened. That fucking happened.
And fucking, then, actually, no, yeah, New Coke. Like,
the new kids on the block.
New Coke.
New kids on the block.
Ooh. Oh, Tommy.
We learned that a long time
ago. Fuck you, I'm making food.
I think they need calling out on this stuff, and they've been criticized more than recently on being unable to respond to fan feedback in a particularly positive way, in a constructive way. I think is the most important part, because they seem to be scared that people aren't buying things because they're different.
They seem to be listening to the wrong. I know that obviously that's gonna obviously sound like I'm just saying like I'm right and other people aren't, but like they seem to be listening to the wrong feedback, and they seem to be, instead of listening to the people pointing out their shitty business decisions, they seem to be listening to the people who just want the homogenized game design, which
I mean
is fucking
here's the thing. I think it doesn't matter who they're listening to, because they're being criticized, and what they do when they get criticized is they go back to the last time they received universal praise, which is every time they've done nothing different. Mm-hmm. And they are getting praised because let's be honest, their games are all good. Like I have never seen, well, I haven't played many first party Nintendo titles that are actively bad games.
Mario 64.
No, it's just not. Shut up.
There are some.
All of you need to stop being haters and being so jelly.
No,
wait, hey, I
like Mario 64 on the DS.
You are all acting so jelly right now. You are all actively peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I'm obviously an Xbox fanboy because I'm wearing my Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, whoa! I didn't realize that this was a costume party because you all came dressed as jellyfish.
Whoa,
Jesus. I don't know how to answer that.
I was going to say something before that, and I forgot. Yeah. Because like Nintendo, they had this big, just giant, colossal, like orgasm of creativity for the GameCube.
Yeah,
they're too old. That's where it all went. And then I guess they just came so hard they fell into a coma for like 10 years or something, because the entire Wii, the entire DS, the entire 3DS, and Wii U until like last week has just been boring, safe.
Well, you've got to remember that, like, how well did GameCube do?
Exactly.
Not particularly.
That's obviously the real reason. Whereas the Wii, which in the Wii and the DS, the creativity was focused on the hardware rather than the actual games. Like, even Twilight Princess, which I love Twilight Princess. That game is still very much like you look at it and, it looks like the focus tested Zelda, because it is. It was the Zelda made for everyone who went, oh, we want Ocarina of Time again, but we sort of started liking Majora's Mask, so make it darker.
Hey, I don't want Zelda in my games. Guys, come on, let's sort this out. We need to have gritty, realistic Zelda.
In fairness, I really like Twilight Princess.
I do too. I love Twilight Princess. I think it's better than Ocarina of Time.
Oh, God.
But I actually like Ocarina of Time.
The problem with Twilight Princess is that it takes half an hour before the game actually starts.
Can we just accept that Ocarina of Time for DS is
the only version.
The version that has had all the marks of time, all of its aging reversed, because when you try and play the N64 version, you are immediately given that kind of kick out of your suspension of disbelief by the actual genuine issues, technical issues that the game presents. And it's just easier for us because of course Ocarina of Time, yes, we've had N64 for 2 years, but we were still in that era of amazement of holy shit, this is incredible, we can see the world in 3D.
If you were a console player, if you've been playing on PC, this is the thing I was talking with my lecturer about, because I was talking about GoldenEye, and he worked at Rare, and he said that he sees GoldenEye a lot like H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, where it started a lot of things, but didn't necessarily. It wasn't the best at it, but it started things. But I point out that, like, you can go back and read War of the Worlds, and that's still a good book. But if you didn't play GoldenEye when it came out, the odds of you enjoying it nowadays are slim to fucking none.
Unlike Quake
and Doom, even Wolfenstein to an extent.
I really disagree. I mean, you might be able to. I don't enjoy Doom or Quake anymore.
I'm not saying
they're objectively bad games.
That's fair. No, if you don't like them, that's fine.
I did back then. I don't now. I enjoyed Doom when I played it on the SNES, but I
SNES.
What are you trying to play it on nowadays? So, it was on the SNES, but it was shit on the SNES.
Okay, right. So I emulate it generally.
Think about the Doom.
What genuinely asking? What are you emulating it on?
I can't remember. When would I last play it? I had my laptop.
If you were to play Doom nowadays, I would get a source port like Z Doom and play it with mouse look.
Yeah,
that's such a thing to add. But
Doom is not nostalgic for me at all because
not
what I was playing. But I can still play it and enjoy it. That's the thing.
I played Doom when I was like 10, and bear in mind that one of the earliest PC games I ever played was Half-Life. And that is another game where, with the possible exception of Zen, I'm willing to let that bit go. Almost the entire game is still completely enjoyable for new players today. Sure, the visuals are dated, but they're not dated to the point of making your eyes bleed.
I played it for the first time last year, and I didn't mind Zen or the visuals. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, some people hate Zen, some people like it. I quite like it, but
I'm one of those weird people who actually likes first-person platforming and engine games.
Me too. Weirdo.
Because you do it all the time.
I really like the way Quake controls, and they've never changed that. Except in Portal 2, for some reason, they decided to change the way the walking physics works. It pissed me off. But, just the way the character moves around, I feel I can do platforming in Half-Life and Quake and Half-Life 2 really well, whereas a lot of other first. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I would always say that things standing the test of time is really important, especially in this case. And
GoldenEye does not.
GoldenEye doesn't, and a lot of N64 games.
I agree.
I feel part of it's down to the controller, not necessarily all of it. Part of it's down to the fact that almost every N64 game looks like a foot.
There are some
games that look great on the N64. Like Mario 64 looks pretty good.
Mario 64 looks great. Banjo-Kazooie and Tui both hold up incredibly well.
Definitely. Pretty much with those, all you have to do is run them in HD and they look pretty fucking great. I still don't think they stand up to Spyro on the PS1, but then Spyro was a fucking technical... That was technical wizardry. It's amazing that game ran as well and looked as good as it did. That was just fucking... I've forgotten his name. The engine programmer in Insomniac, who I hold up to the highest... Like, to the same regard I hold John Carmack. Because he just did stuff on consoles that should not have been possible. But yeah, you know, Zelda's, you know, Ocarina plays well on the 3DS, but, you know.
Yeah, to get back to the original point.
Yeah, it's not fair to completely write off the fact that for most of the game's existence, you've been using the original, which is the original design, whereas, you know, compare it to some other games, which were the original design, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think... In many ways, yeah, I can kind of see judging it on its original merits in the original version as being sort of like a leveling of the playing field. Look, it is a bad game because it's janky and the textures are shit. And
I wouldn't say it's completely bad, but it's not good. It's not great. I mean, it's playable.
Clunky. It's pretty clunky.
It's playable, but it's not amazing.
It's not as good as the earlier.
You can cut a sign in like 10 different ways.
Yeah, and then if you play Zelda's Lullaby in front of them, they reform and become.
Do they really? I didn't know that.
I can still play through Ocarina of Time and enjoy it on 64. But even then, I played it when it was new. But even then, I wasn't that big on it. Like I liked it, but I guess it's partially because I grew up on PC. But I don't know. I wasn't impressed by it. Oddly enough, when I played it on 3DS when it came out, I was much more impressed.
Better controls?
Not really. Like, well, yes, but like,
yeah,
like, yeah. You're not using the 3DS version.
The 3DS version didn't do anything new. It just enhanced and fixed a lot of issues. 64 version had. Yet that somehow gave me a more.
It finally let the art direction out.
Wow. This is actually a good thing.
It allows the experience to not rip, like the issues don't rip you away, and that's the thing that most people get when they criticize Ocarina. It tends to be that you get ripped out of the experience by the clunkiness.
And yes,
I still get ripped out of it.
Love Majora's Mask. Like that fixed a lot of issues, though.
Majora's Mask, I am willing to completely look past the gameplay issues, which are still there. A lot of gameplay issues are still there from Ocarina. I'm willing to overlook them because the stories of all the characters are just that well done.
It's the artistic kind of merit is more apparent straight away in Majora.
It's so clearly like there's actual meat to the world itself. It's, you know, it's similar to the way I compare Skyrim and Fallout. Skyrim and Fallout are very similar, but I do not like Skyrim because while the combat is very similar in both, the world does not fucking interest me in any way in Skyrim. I don't give a shit about any of the characters.
Yeah.
The only cool thing's the dragons. It just doesn't interest me. Whereas Fallout is fucking interesting. There's so much going on, and there's all sorts of really interesting backhanded shit that's been done by people who aren't even alive anymore. And there's all this stuff to find, and admittedly there's stuff to find in Skyrim as well, but it's like, oh...
Skyrim is more generic. The thing is, right? A while ago, someone said he was named Andrew, and he sounded kind of cute. So, hey, Andrew, are you, you know, single?
No, I'm married to the job.
Dude, you know what?
Andrew is married to science.
I think it's time we cuckold science.
I think science is a very jealous betrothed. Science is the jealous mistress, and would probably blow your head off.
That would make the bombing more exciting.
Exciting and deadly.
Oh, that should be played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Approach the GoldenEye thing again, that's not a game. Like, when I played that as a kid, like having grown up on Doom and Quake and Duke Nukem 3D and all that stuff before playing GoldenEye,
yeah,
I did have some issues with the controls and how it was not as good
fluid
as PC first-person shooters.
Slower,
yeah.
And I had the same issue with Perfect Dark. I still enjoy them, especially multiplayer, and I can still play them in multiplayer if someone offers. But like, yeah, I could not go back and like just play through the story mode again because I just don't think I could do that. But then I got the 360 version of Perfect Dark, the Xbox Live Arcade one.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And that one gives it modern FPS controls and just sort of basically improves everything. It's basically the Ocarina of Time 3D of Perfect Dark. And that also just gave me a whole new appreciation for that game, which I was not big on Perfect Dark at all as a kid. Like, I like GoldenEye better even. But having now played it with like better controls and better graphics and just as a better game, I can see why someone who didn't grow up the same way I did was really amazed by those games. And I'm guessing Ocarina of Time was the same thing, because like I played 3D RPGs before I played Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
like hell, I think I played Sonic Adventure on Dreamcast before I played Ocarina of Time, technically. So
I played Crazy Taxi on a Dreamcast and watched a VHS tape preview of the Xbox before I had even played on an
Nintendo. See, I got Ocarina of Time in 2000, the same year Mirror's Mask came out.
I think the thing we're ignoring is the fact that the cultural zeitgeist, as it were, as if you can call it that, with a bunch of fucking 10-year-olds, which was generally the people who were playing it at the time. You know, that cultural kind of movement was tended to be people who played A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
And wanted, it didn't matter if they'd already played a 3D, if they'd played fucking Goemon or whatever.
Goemon was fantastic. Sure.
We're not talking about Goemon. I shouldn't have ever mentioned Goemon. No. We're wrapping the show up. But I think, the thing is that it was beloved for a reason that it fulfilled. It was wish fulfillment. It still had artistic merit. I would argue that the game after that had a little more because they knew what they were doing. They didn't have to fulfill that prime directive of quick, let them explore Hyrule.
Exploring Hyrule in Ocarina was basically just walk to the four ends of this field.
It was the same thing in Majora's Mask.
Walk across the field.
But it was new. It was amazing.
For the time, it was something new.
And so was Link to the Past. Walk to the four ends of the field, and then you're in a different field in the dark world, and now you fucking do the other one.
That is one thing that they still didn't fucking do in the 3DS version. They didn't let you switch worlds at any time. Which I understand why, because the game's not designed like that, but it's fucking annoying to have to keep going back to the Temple of Time.
Yeah.
Switching, going back.
It's cool to see sort of games evolve over time. And I mean, going back to the whole GoldenEye thing, I remember loving that game when I was a kid, and although I never played Perfect Dark, I did get to see like the perfect GoldenEye games being made in the Time Splitter series.
It would have been interesting.
I think Perfect Dark is actually almost...
Time Splitter does everything GoldenEye does, but with the PlayStation 2 controller, which makes it perfect, and it has a much better art design, it has a much better sense of characterization and story, it has the map creation bits, which are absolutely brilliant fun, which means that the four-player multiplayer is even better.
But does it have slappers?
And the best game in the series, Time Splitters Future Perfect, has a proper story mode starring a Vin Diesel lookalike,
yes, who
is...
Wow! We agree on the best Time Splitters game.
Anyway, should we...
The real interesting thing would have happened had Rare actually finished their GoldenEye for 360 port.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Well, I say finished, been able to release it. I think I'm allowed to talk about this because it was in a magazine once.
You're not. I know.
I was talking to Simon about it. He said he wasn't sure if it was public or not. I looked it up and there was like one single magazine article. But they finished a GoldenEye port for the 360 and with, you know, proper same engine as Perfect Dark. You know, you had a proper look in.
There's footage of it on YouTube.
Oh, okay, cool. However, licensing fell through. Basically, no one wanted to pay for the license anymore, so it didn't happen. Which is a shame, because then we would have really been able to compare the game on its own merits without putting the controls.
It can't have been that good. Do you see what I mean? It can't have been that good if nobody wanted to pay for the licensing.
Well, no one owns the 007 game license anymore. Like, no one owns it.
When it comes to when it comes to that game, it's so complicated with the licensing.
So wait, can we make a 007 game?
Microsoft, there's Activision who owned it at one point. There's Nintendo, the people who own the 007 license.
Nintendo owns the original game GoldenEye, and the license for 007 games was sold from Nintendo to Activision. And Activision then dropped them, and it went back to MGM, the film company, but they don't make games.
Okay,
no one has picked it up. That was like 3 years ago.
Wrap the show up, because holy hell are we running long. We had a lot of Nintendo chat. We had another Adam that he put some to them. Do we have
Nintendo.
We recorded enough Nintendo chat to fill the next month. More Nintendo chat.
Never.
Until I get my new 3DS, and then it will be all Nintendo chat.
That's fair enough, because that's actually something to talk about that isn't a 20-year-old game.
But, yes, I feel like we should probably close out if we don't have any questions.
I would close out on your face. No, we don't.
At the end of this, episode, hopefully we're going to be able to put an OC remix called Tutti Frutti. I will figure out who it's by in just a second.
Hello.
Sigma,
MC Final Sigma, and Sir Jordanius. It is a rap in which basically a fruit vendor from what's it called? Fucking Delfino Plaza is chatting to Mario about all the different fruits in every Mario game. It's really good. It mentions Chuckle Hut Cola, a bean from
does it end with Yoshi eating them all and puking them out? Because that's his main power, puking.
That's what
Yoshi does all the way through.
Like whenever they talk about like imports, it means they're from different games, and they're talking about them as if they're illegal drugs. So yeah, have a listen to that. I'll pop it on the end, and good luck and Godspeed. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Hi everyone, VDC here. Not gonna give you the usual spiel this week, y'all know it by now. We got a remix by MC Final Sigma and Sergio Danius, going over the previous works of Koji Kondo and Shinobu Nagata. So let me get that chow down. Enjoy.
The name is Piyanti Joe, this is my fresh fruits co. Oh, yeah, Mario, honey, that's the name of my bro.
Although
Piyanti goes, whoa, 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 whoa. So, how you doing? Tell me, when'd you get in? Do I detect Mushroom Kingdom or maybe Brooklyn?
Friend, you look in.
But I got what you're craving. Six types of fruits, once for every occasion. Spicy, smooth, sweet, mix and match, amazing. I got 720 new sensations, try every combination.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Cause all I got is patience plus whatever you need. If that's okay, then per se, when you wanna select, cause only you know what comes next, baby. Perhaps it's smoothly with the cutie as you tan on the beach. Or your problem is you're starving and a man's gotta eat.
It's whatever.
We got it weather.
Business or pleasure.
Chili could mean cool, but it also means pepper. So step up and check
just what'll it be
from Delfino's number one fresh fruit terry. to Sunday your hat, but I got more out back. They're imports, and in short, they make one hell of a snack. Now, they're not exactly legal, but that can be pardoned. After all, I've seen your stash on Delfino's Most Wanted. Come check out the product, sir, it's right this way. We'll let the mulberry light the way, as bright as day. Now for show, Dr. Mario knows his drugs, but this blimp fruit stuff will get you chucked up faster than a dash pepper that's hot. But don't be worrying, you know, half-stepper, so just kick it like a durian. But if you're thirsty, then down a soda, the official, the chuckle huck, dump it up a Buster Gut Cola. Now I got berries from all over Dino Isle, and subcon cherries just to numb your bum a while. Keep your ground pounds keen, but to end that dream, eat a bean bean bean. What caffeine beans bean? Hey, if you're looking for something, I got you. You gotta buy it, and luckily for you, the Fresh Fruits Company is what you need it to. So welcome to Delfino, where we know you'll love your visit. And thanks and come again, it was a pleasure doing business.
All right.